All right, I'll ask everybody to head back to your seats. I don't like cutting conversations short. It's always wonderful to fellowship, but we got to get on with the show. Those of you who might be new here, I'm not the pastor. My name's Kevin. Ben is our pastor. He's away this weekend. And as Ben would say, we've actually traded up because Jeff is here this week. And Jeff would say that we're taking a step down because he's here this week. Both men, very humble, speaking highly, more highly of each other than they do of themselves. So it's always a delight for you to be here, Jeff. We've gotten to know you quite well over the years, and really excited to hear what God's given you to share with us today. Just a couple of announcements. We have a Christmas Eve service here on the 24th, which would be in 2 days, and I believe it's at 7 o'clock. So you're all welcome to come. We're going to sing a bunch of Christmas songs, and kids are in the service for that. And then today, I think there's some coloring stuff at the back, supposedly for the kids, those who want to. Oh, up here? Okay. It's up here. I'm just filling in today. I'm new at this. And then, so we're grateful to the Dream Center for opening up their home to us to come in here on Tuesday night. And so we're looking forward to that. Anything else I'm forgetting? I don't think I had any other announcements to say. We had a great time last Sunday at the potluck. Thanks to the Dream Center guys who came out, and it was great to have you come and fellowship with us. And I was telling Susan today, there were so many people disappointed they weren't there to have her butter chicken. So maybe the next time. It was a great time. So thanks to everybody that came out and did that. So I'm going to invite Jeff to come up. I'm going to pray for him and then let him speak to us. Father God, thank you for our brother Jeff, for the way that you have spoken to him and raised him up to lead this city. And I pray that you would speak through him today to each one of us. May your Holy Spirit guide him, and may you speak to our hearts and give us the things that you want us to hear and know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can pray. Sure, that sounds good. Well, good morning, everybody. I really love coming here to speak. You're such a blessing. I pray with your pastor and several people from your church each week. And I just got to say that you have got a blessed church here. You are so blessed. And Jenny and I thank you so much for your prayers and support in the faith mission. I got Kezi here. My daughter Kezi came with me today, so I'm very thankful for that too. And I'm going to be sharing on an area that is deeply, deeply affected my own life. You hate to say this is the most important, but this one has saved my life, saved my soul, this area of peace. And I know in the Advent, it was a couple weeks ago, but God just put this message on my heart because I need this message. It's a personal message for my own heart. Sometimes daily, sometimes more than once a day, God uses this passage in my life. I live there sometimes. And I'll just start out by 800 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah, he made some statements that, of course, prophets get their word of from God. Only God. Like God says that in the Old Testament, I'm going to say things that are going to happen in the future, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. There is hundreds of prophecies of Christ throughout the Old Testament. It was almost like some of them were sitting on a lawn chair at the crucifixion, and there'd never even been crucifixion back in those days. But what Isaiah says about Jesus here is shocking. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So a virgin, he was saying, in the future, a virgin is going to have a baby, and that baby is going to be God with us. The baby is going to be God himself. And then in chapter 9, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." So he's going to rule. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. This little baby will be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And then he closes by saying, the little baby will be called the Prince of Peace. He'll be the source of peace. He'll be the hope of the world in order to have peace. And so we jump forward 800 years, and the virgin conceived. And she was about to bring forth God the Son, that was given to this world by God himself, and he sent his Son. Like the hymn says, he emptied himself of everything but love and came to win us to back to God, to pay the penalty for our sins. But just before he was born, there was another prophecy. John the Baptist had been born, and his dad, he gave a prophecy of the Christ that was about to be born, his cousin. And he said that this little baby was going to lead us or guide us into the way of peace. One thing, if you're over five, you know that this world, there's a lack of peace. Maybe in your own heart, there's a lack of peace. But all around us, I do lots and lots of counseling, and you'd be shocked, I'm sure. People who you don't think are struggling with the area of peace, they are majorly struggling in the area of peace. There is so much self-medicating. There is so much medicating. People do not have peace. But Christ came to guide us into the way of peace. He came for one purpose. Well, he came for many, but the main purpose was he came, the Bible says, in the fullness of the time, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. He had to become a person in order to live a perfect life on our behalf, and then he was sacrificed for us, and he took the wrath of God upon himself so that we could go free. He came to make peace with God for us. We had sinned and broken fellowship with God, and God the Son, God in his great love, sent his Son so that he could satisfy the justice of God so that we could be saved. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All the world is trying to reach God. Every religion in the world is the same. They're trying to reach God in their pride, and no one can reach God because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God himself reached us, and he paid the penalty. And so that if we will turn to God with all of our hearts, if we'll humble ourselves with all of our hearts and turn to God and trust fully and only in what Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us, we are saved. And we make peace with God. We have peace with God for all eternity. With a holy Father, we're cleansed. And we have eternal life with God. There, that is hope. hope. And peace. We have peace with God. But I want to talk this morning about not only having peace with God, but the Bible tells us that we can have the peace of God. As ambassadors for Christ, one of the greatest, most beautiful attributes of the church in a world that has no peace is when we're filled with the peace of God. It points, when his people have the peace of God, it points to the Prince of Peace. It's a miracle to have peace. Everybody's seeking it. But it only comes through the Prince of Peace. So when you were born again, if you're here today and you've been born again, you turned to God, you trusted, you humbled yourself and you trusted Christ to save you. At that very moment, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit came into your life, and one of the fruits of being right with God, one of the fruits of God's Spirit is peace. And I can remember it like yesterday. I had no peace. I turned to God and gave him my entire life. I abandoned my life to God, and he saved my soul, and I believe he saved my life. He gave me peace that I could hardly contain myself. If you're here and if you've known that deep sorrow inside of no peace, no joy, and then Christ saved you, and gives you this gift. It is a precious gift. And the world needs this gift. The gift of salvation, the gift of peace. There are so many people that are self-medicating. I did. You have to numb yourself because of the pain. And the world is looking. And so when you came to Christ, you received the Spirit of God into your life, and the fruit of God's Spirit is peace. But something that happened as a Christian, it was just such a blessing as you walked with God and you tried to stay close to God. And then I remember the first morning. See, people talk about panic attacks. I'd never heard of a panic attack ever before, but I think I lived in a panic attack. Morning was the worst. You'd wake up in the morning, and Satan, he likes to shoot fiery darts at people. And maybe you have this too. Maybe at night, maybe in the morning, maybe all day long. I don't know. But you'd wake up in the morning, and I remember one guy saying, he was talking to a bunch of kids, and he said, when you were little, he said, did your dad have to teach you how to worry? Did he wake you up and say one morning and say, son, today we're going to teach you how to worry. I want you to think about something that could happen, maybe today, maybe a little ways down the road, and I want you to just to think about it and think about it and think about it until you get so worked up inside that you can hardly live. Nobody ever had to teach you how to worry. We do that quite well ourselves. And I remember that, waking up thinking, oh man, what are these people going to think about me? Or what if this happens? Or what if this? Or what if that? Or what? And you just, it's like a motor. Your brain was never meant to be just humming at that kind of RPMs. And you're thinking, and then all this, and then you just get all worked up. And you have no peace. Maybe you're, that's you. But I remember after I became a Christian, it was so free. I was so free because I didn't have to worry all the time. But then I still remember that day when worry began to creep back into my life again. And I was so fearful. Oh no. And about that time, I read this book called The Calvary Road, and it so blessed me. And it said in there, in Colossians, it says, there's a verse there that says, let the peace of God, not peace with God, but the peace of God that we are talking about. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That means referee in your heart. And so what it means is, you know, any sport you play, if there's a foul or a penalty or whatever, the referee blows the whistle and the game stops. And in your Christian life, when you lose the peace of God, it's like the referee blowing the whistle. Stop. You've grieved the Spirit of God in your life. Because if you have peace, you're filled with the Spirit of God. But if you are worrying again, you've grieved God's Spirit. Because the fruit of God's Spirit is peace. Or if you lose your joy. So walking in the Christian life, it's very, very important to, when the referee blows his whistle, stop. And that morning when I woke up with this panic, I'd been reading this book and I realized, okay, God, there's something wrong in my life. And I asked God to show me what it was. Because I was afraid that worry was coming back into my life, and I was so enjoying that peace that passes all understanding in my life. And he showed me. And I gave that area over to God. And again, I walked in the peace of God. But this is something that another verse, that there's certain verses you should memorize. If you battle in certain areas, you should have memorized those verses that you really, really battle. And I tremendously battle in this area. Many people that drink or take drugs or those kind of numbing things, this is an area where they really battle. And a lot of times you think, oh, it's this, but it's a root problem. And my root problem was such worry that you had to stay numb all the time, or take the edge. If you're taking the edge off, that's not a good thing. You need to get to the root problem. And mine was a tremendous worry. And so, this was a verse, these are two verses that have changed my life. So when the referee blows the whistle and I've lost my peace, I always go to these verses. Just this morning, I was weeping before the tears pouring because God just filled me with his peace again. I got up nice and early, and like I do every day, get alone with God, and I will read you these verses, and I hope they can change your life like they do mine. And it's in Philippians chapter 4. And he says, be careful for nothing, the old King James. Don't worry about anything, he says. God says, don't worry about anything. And if you have ever worried much, that's a mocking statement. If someone just to say, don't worry. I remember they used to say that to me all the time. I'd be worrying so much about something and somebody'd say, don't worry, Jeff. And I think, what, like, how do I not worry? Like, stop breathing, Jeff. How do you stop worrying? How do you not worry? Like, you don't just tell somebody, don't worry. Oh, sure, I won't worry. No, but God would never ask you to do something that he didn't give you the power to do. So he doesn't just say, don't worry, but he tells you how not to worry. So he says, don't worry for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, this is Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. I would encourage everyone in this room to memorize this. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is so true. So he says, don't worry, but when you start to worry, this is what you need to do. When the referee blows the whistle and you've lost your peace, you stop. And he says, don't worry, but worship. The word prayer there literally means worship. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by worship. So in my life, whenever I start to worry, I stop and I have to worship. And the greatest three, and you all have this one memorized, this passage of worship. If you can say the Lord's Prayer, the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer with all your heart, you are worshiping God. But you cannot fake him. You can never fake worship. I know we call this a worship service when we sing. Singing is a fruit of worship. It's not worship itself. Worship comes right from here. It's deep inside of you, and it comes from your soul. And it, only God knows if you're worshiping. But he's searching for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because sometimes we lie when we're, someone said if God dealt with us the same way he dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, every time we sang I Surrender All in church, a quarter of the church would die. Because sometimes we say, oh, I'm worshiping you, Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're not. And so whenever I start to worry, I go to the Lord's Prayer and I pray it and I ask God to help me. And it starts out by saying, hallowed be thy name. So much worry comes from worrying about our own reputation. Teenagers, I feel so much for you. I did so many stupid things in my life to make everybody like me, but I just about ruined my life doing it. We worry so much about our reputations. We worry so much about our name. And some people can just be always worried, what is everybody thinking about me? In high school too, and all these kind of, what is everybody thinking about me? And we're worried. Oh, what if I, and God does not want you living there. And so whenever I start to worry, I say, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Not my name, but thy name. And I'm going to tell two stories I told a long time ago when I in your church when I shared on the Lord's Prayer. But I these two changed my life, these two things that happened to me. First was my little daughter, Anna. She's our oldest, and she was just a little girl. And she'd wake up early, and I'd take her into my office, and I was going to teach her the Lord's Prayer. And so I was teaching her. I said, Anna, this is how you say the Lord's Prayer. I said, our Father, which art in heaven, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be my name. And I said, oh, wow, Anna, no, you can't say that. That's hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be my name. She's just a little girl. And I said, oh, boy, Anna, that's not good. So I was trying, and then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. That's the way you should say it. Even as a pastor. I want everybody to like me. And it can cause a lot of worry and a lot of... And so I broke right there. I said, Lord, I've always battled this, the fear of man, what everybody thinks about me, because I love myself. And as I was dealing with this before the Lord, Anna was still there. And so I said, okay, we better get back to... And so I said, you can't say it like that, Anna. That's not the way you can say the Lord's Prayer. How about try this? Hallowed be thy name. Because she couldn't say the th. And again, the Lord just broke me. That's what you need to do. You need to die to your reputation every single day so that you don't care what anybody thinks except for what God thinks. if you worry in that area, it'll change your life. I was traveling with Bill McLeod, Pastor McLeod, and I was just a brand new Christian, and I felt like I was shy. Again, that's another reason why so many people will take alcohol or drugs and become more outgoing. And so I always felt like I was a very, very shy person, and I thought that was humble. I thought I was very humble because I couldn't talk in front of people and I couldn't. And so Pastor McLeod said, "Jeff, I'd like you to say a few things." And it was, you know, we were in Toronto and there was this huge congregation. He said, "I'd just like to say you to say a few things. Even you could just answer a couple questions." I said, "No way." He said, "There's no way I'm going in front of all those people." And he said, "Why not? Why wouldn't you go in front of all those people?" I said, "Oh, I'm very self-conscious." And that was the wrong word to say. He said, "Well, let's take a look at that word for a moment. Self-conscious." He said, "You're conscious of yourself. You love yourself. You're self-centered." I thought, you might as well have hit me with a baseball bat. I thought I was humble, but it was pride. You care what everybody thinks about you. And then he said something that I've thought about so much since. He said, this whole idea of self-esteem, he said, it's wrong. He said, high self-esteem is looking at yourself and loving what you see. Low self-esteem is looking at yourself and hating what you see. And I could go over, like I'd be like a roller coaster. But he said, you got to stop looking at yourself. And look to Christ and His glory. Live the rest of your life for the glory of God, and you'll be totally free. I was set free that day. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I said, it's still going to be very, very hard to go up there. But I'm going to do it for you, and I'm going to ask you, Lord, I want to die to my reputation. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. And every day I have to do that. And you're free. You're free. When you give that over to God and you say, Lord, hallowed be thy name, not my name. I want to live the rest of my life for your glory, not mine. What a freedom. What a peace. And the next one, thy kingdom come. We all live for our little kingdoms, my kingdom. Even in ministry, you can do that. I can tell you because I've done it. Even something good, it's your kingdom. Like one guy once said, he said, have you ever been sitting on the beach in Hawaii and you sit and worry about someone breaking into your neighbor's house and stealing your neighbor's car? And obviously, I don't think I've ever, you'd be a real worrier if you're worried about that. But I said, no, I've never. But he said, why don't you worry about their car? Because it's not my car. Exactly. If we hand over everything we are, hallowed be thy name. And everything we have, thy kingdom come. It's all his, and there's no more worry. It's his. And you're free. We need to really take care of what God has entrusted us with. That's not what he's saying. We take care of his kingdom. We seek first his kingdom. I know for Janny and I, there was many times through the years, you had to go to certain places they couldn't pay you enough to live. And so you go and pasture there. And we always said the only thing we ever have to worry about is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because God never failed us in the part of all these things shall be added unto you. God will never leave you or forsake you. If you seek first his kingdom, even if he has to ask you to give everything to him, he will take care of you. And you'll have more peace than you've ever known. You can have nothing in your kingdom and have peace that passes all understanding. And if we know, we look at all the people, the most famous people in the world, the people that have everything, the people that can do whatever they want, that's the next one. They have no peace. They'd trade it all for peace or for joy. But when you lay down your reputation, you lay down your little piddly little kingdom, you pour your piddly little kingdom into his, you're free. It is so freeing. And then thy will be done. I think that's the hardest one. Thy will be done. That's when you can say those three in a row, that's worship. You've given everything to God. First of all, thy will be done in the area of his written will. This is God's will for your life. If you say, I want to do God's will, well, just start obeying this. If there's an area where you're saying no to God in the word of God, you'll lose your peace. So often we've sinned and we walk away and we lose that peace of God. Like the Bible even says in Isaiah, if only you'd obeyed me, you had peace like a river. So maybe you're here today and you need to obey God. An area where you've lost your peace was where you stopped obeying him in a certain area where you said, no, God, no. You can't say no, Lord. It has to be yes, Lord. If he's Lord, it's yes. So maybe that's an area. Every morning you wake up, Lord, is there anything between us? Is there any sin between us? I want to walk right into the light as you're in the light and then have fellowship and be filled with your spirit. I want to abide in you, which brings forth fruit, the fruits of God's spirit. So the area of the will of God, thy will be done. And this is a huge one too, is there's the written will of God and there's the sovereign will of God. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we say, I do not like this, Lord. Something that you can't change it. And we get bitter towards God or we get bitter towards other people. And it's just like Jesus when he came to the cross, if he said, if there's any other way, Lord, but he had to take the wrath of God the Father upon himself for us. But he said, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So often, when we can come to God, when like a trial, we're in the middle of a trial, and trials would be anything that you have that you don't want, maybe cancer, or when you don't have something you do want, maybe enough money to live, whatever. There's all the whole gamut of things. But when we can come to God and worship him and say, Lord, I lay this down before you and I give it to you and I worship you and I trust you. I know that all things will work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. I don't enjoy what's going on right now, but I trust you. I know you love me and that you'll work good out of this very difficult situation. Oh, the peace. We don't sit and worry about what might happen tomorrow or what might happen the next day because we know, like one person said, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so we can rest in that. That is such freedom. And if you're a worrier, you need to do this. You need to worship God. There can never be worry with worship, and there can never be worship with worry. They cannot go together. But as soon as you worship, peace. Hallowed your name, not mine, Lord. I lay down my little life, my little reputation. Your kingdom, not mine. I lay down my kingdom at your feet. Whatever you do with it, it's up to you, Lord. And I lay down my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. And peace as you worship the Lord. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And your life will speak. There are very few people with the peace that passes all understanding. But I'll tell you, there's so many people watching and looking. And if the church doesn't have peace, there are many, many, many people that have come to the end and they can't take it anymore. And a lot of them have looked at the church and said, it's not there either. You know, if you used to play sports, I remember sometimes I'd start taking too many penalties. And the coach would have to say, Jeff, you're starting to really hurt the team here. And you know, when the referee blows the whistle and we keep forgetting about it, leaving it, we start to become a detriment to the team, to God's church, to his glory. Because he wants us to be a testimony to those. There are so many people that the Bible says a bruised reed God wouldn't break and a smoking flax he wouldn't quench. There are so many bruised reeds and smoking flaxes out there that are just about at the end and they can't take it anymore. And the greatest sermon for them, they may never walk into this church, but the greatest sermon for some, and I know because I was one of them, the greatest sermon in the world is to see that there really is truly peace in the world. And there's hope to have peace. And you need, and I need, to be one of those people where there's rivers of peace flowing out of our lives. And when we make a mistake, we need to stop and cry out to God and worship him again. There's a beautiful, beautiful passage in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, I better just read the first verse. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I think that would be my testimony. We need to seek him. We need to cry out to him. And he hears and he cares and he gives you peace. Because there's so many people around you that are crying out, and these poor people are crying, and there's no one listening. But they need to know who to cry out to. They need to know who to look to. And so this Christmas, the greatest gift that you can give your family and all those who work with you and are around you is the gift of peace. And as they look at your life, they see the Prince of Peace. Because the whole world needs the Prince of Peace. But a lot of them are so broken, they don't even know where to look. And so I would just encourage you, is that this coming 2025, you would start every day with worship. And that as you go through your day, if you lose the peace, if the referee blows the whistle, stop and worship him again. Whatever area you've taken back from that Lord's Prayer, give it back to him and walk in peace. What a gift that the world needs to see is the Prince of Peace flowing through our lives. Because not everybody got to see him born there like the shepherds did. But they get to see the Prince of Peace in your life. And there knows nobody out there is stupid. They don't just say, oh, it's fake, but I think I'll follow. No, the world is looking for reality. And let's ask God to make that real, true peace a reality in our own lives. I'm just going to, are we, one more song? And then I'll come up and pray after that song. Yeah. If you're here today, you can be seen. If you're here today and you are really battling worry in your life, I know there is people here. There's many, many people that do. I just want to tell you, I am a person who really, really battles. Without God, I would be, I don't know where I would. But anyways, if you need the peace of God in your life, you can know the Prince of Peace. It doesn't matter if you're not a person that just naturally has peace, because you know the Prince. So anytime you're struggling or you're battling peace, just go straight to him. The Bible talks about how his people have committed two evils. They take these little broken cisterns that can hold no water, and they have a little bit of yucky water in there, and they try to hold on to that when he says there's a fountain of living water right over here, and all you got to do is just put that down and come and stand under the fountain and just have all the water you need. You can stand under the fountain of the Prince of Peace. Even if you don't have peace, he has enough for everybody. And so I'd encourage you every day, start your day at the throne of the Prince of Peace. At the source of all joy, and receive it from him. As you trust in him, as you surrender your life to him, ask him, I believe him with all my heart. Every morning I wake up, Lord, I know you can fill me with your peace, because you have before and you will again today. And so I would just really encourage you, if some of you are really hurting, don't reach for other things that can only numb. Go to the source, and I'll pray. Lord, thank you so much for this dear congregation and these blessed people. And I pray and I thank you for our Prince of Peace who made peace with you. And I pray that every one of us this coming year, we'd walk hand in hand with the Prince of Peace, Lord, just receiving from you every day, that you'd guard our hearts and our minds with your peace. And if there's some that are really, really battling today, Lord, I pray that you would come so near to them. Give them hope that they can walk in your peace. And that we'd be a shining light to the world. That the Prince of Peace has come and he abides right in our lives. And I thank you, Lord. Just bless every family of this Christmas. Give everyone a wonderful time together with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.